We're very glad to see you at the Gospel Service this Sabbath evening. We're commencing with the words of the hymn 225. Have you any room for Jesus, he who bore your load of sin, as he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? 225, please, and we'll stand as we sing together. Just seek the Lord together. Father, we ask from the very beginning of our meeting tonight that we will know and sense the presence of the Lord in thy house. We want to pray, Father, that you'll do for us this evening what you did in the temple in Jerusalem those many years ago. We ask thee to come and fill this house. Come and fill this house with thy presence. We pray that you'll come and fill this house tonight with thy glory. We're praying, Father, that you will come down amongst us. May heaven come down, our souls to greet. May glory crown the mercy seat. We ask, Father, that you'll intervene in the service tonight, that you'll come down and put your hand upon the gathering, that we'll know the power of God upon the meeting, from the very beginning, right through the service, every part of it. But especially, Father, we pray that we'll know the power of God upon the preaching of your word this evening. We ask that even now as we're bowed in prayer, that every brother and sister that is gathered in your house will sense the Lord's presence. We ask, Father, that we'll know the Lord is near. We pray that you will draw near to us in this gathering. We want to pray that the power of God will be felt upon the service. We're pleading, Father, to that end. You've said in your word that we have not because we ask not. And we want to pray, Father, that the power of thy Spirit will descend even now just upon this meeting. Thank you for all that are present in your house this Sabbath night. Bless and encourage every heart. We pray that we'll be refreshed. We pray, Father, that we might be taught of the Lord tonight, even from your word. We pray for every family of our congregation just at this time. May every family be blessed. May you bless our families spiritually in these days. We ask thee, Father, bless our families with salvation. Remember those members of the family still out of Christ, those that are not right with God. Lord, we're asking, move in their hearts, some that have often been spoken to, often been prayed for. We ask, Lord, that those prayers will be answered, that your faithful servants will be encouraged, that family circles will be united. Lord, we think of how awful, how terrible a thing it would be to stand before the Lord and our family members not with us. They're all called up yonder, and they're not there, and they're not present. Oh God, give us a concern, a greater burden for our family members, for our friends. Lord, we plead for them in thy house tonight. We pray that you would put your hand upon them just wherever they are this evening. We know that you're the sovereign God, that you can overrule providentially in every circumstance of life, to bring the word of God to their hearts, to speak to them through events, to bring some faithful believer across their path that might be a witness for God. We pray, Father, that you might do that. And we ask thee, Father, to bless our families, each one, with household salvation. Lead our families on in the things of God, our children and our young people. We ask thee, Lord, to keep them from all the temptations and allurements of the wicked age, the wicked days in which we're found. Lord, lead them on, lead them each one in the paths of righteousness for thy great name's sake. Lord, we ask thee to use us as a church, even over this summertime, all the activities, the outreaches that are planned, the sowing of the seed, especially among the children, the young people. We pray that you'll use the children even as a witness, as a missionary, in their home, in their family circle, as they go home to speak to their family of the things of God, as they tell them the verses, sing the choruses, recite the stories that they've been taught, the gospel truths that have been impressed upon their hearts. Lord, we pray that those things would be a witness to the other family members. Your word says the little child shall lead them. Lord, we ask that that might be true of parents and grandparents in this city and in this community down in Killaloe as well. The little children will lead their parents and other family members to a knowledge of Christ as their Savior. But we pray too, Father, bless our families, even materially, in the days in which we're found. Lord, we think of these worrying days, so many causes for anxiety, the increasing prices that are all around us. Lord, we come into your house on this thy day to acknowledge your provision for us. You've blessed us bountifully. You have given us every day our daily bread. You've fed us and supplied for us. Lord, give us the contentment we ask of which your word speaks, that having food and raiment, therewith to be content. And Lord, we can say that you've provided us with those essential things in life. Your word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And Lord, we claim the promise. We stand upon it. We come, Father, to your house on this Sabbath day to acknowledge that we need your blessing. We look to thee for your provision for us, for our families, and for every member of our family. And Lord, help us just to trust thee day by day. Your word says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Pray you'll increase our faith. We pray that even through the ministry of your word, our meditation upon it today, that you'll strengthen our faith, even in the things of God. You'll strengthen our faith, especially today, Father, in every promise of your word. We thank you for the witness of the gospel been made right across the earth, even at this time. And Lord, what we heard on Wednesday night, especially of the situation in the land of Ukraine, those other Slavic nations as well. We do thank you for Brother Derek, the blessing that he was. We thank you, Father, for helping him as he reported to us, for the updates and the insights that were given. Lord, we rejoice in the word of God going forth in those lands, even there in the nation of Russia. We ask thee, Father, to use your word. Paul said to Timothy, the word of God is not bound. And Lord, you haven't left yourself without a witness, even in those wicked nations at this time. O God, we ask thee that your word will be blessed as it goes forth, that many will be brought to read it, to meditate upon it. Remember that you've said the entrance of your word giveth light. We want to pray, Father, that as men and women in Russia, in the Ukraine, even across the world today, as they read and hear the word of God, it'll bring them into the light of the gospel, that will bring them into the light of truth, that they'll be brought to a knowledge of Christ as their Savior. Remember, Father, all the pastors, the missionaries there in the Ukraine. Lord, we did rejoice to hear of the faithfulness of your servants, so many that have gone forth or are remaining faithful to thee in that land, even in these very extreme times. Lord, watch over them. We pray for your preserving hand to be upon them. We ask thee, Father, to use them in that land at this time for the furtherance of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Father, those members of our congregation that are absent from us at this time, those that can't be here because of illness and increased years. Lord, be near to them. Draw near to them and comfort our brother Norman Kerr, especially in the family circle at this time of bereavement. We thank you for our brother Norman and his faithfulness. Lord, strengthen him just in body. We ask it at this time. Remember all the other senior members of this congregation. We can say, Father, they're missed from the house of God. Their seat is empty. We miss their fellowship amongst us. Draw near to them. We think of the weakness of the body. Give them the strength needed just for these latter years of life. Sustain them, Father. And do send others into this church, this congregation, to replace, Father, those faithful servants and supporters of this congregation. Remember those on holiday at this time. We're asking, Lord, give them journeying mercies. We pray that you'll be with them. The Savior said, come apart and rest a while. We pray that they'll be refreshed in body and in spirit, that you'll return them to us again in the appointed time, just in safety. We're mindful, Father, of those that are engaged in parades and other events and services just at this time. Lord, be near to them and watch over them. Give them health and strength as well. Lord, we remember at this season how good you've been to this land, to this nation of ours. We thank, Father, of many that fought in the Battle of the Somme on the 1st of July, those many years ago. Their memory is still dear and precious, especially to those that lost loved ones at that time. Lord, we think of the freedom that we have because of the sacrifice that they made. Help us ever, Father, to be mindful of it. Remember the great victory of the Battle of the Boyne. Those many years ago, Father, we praise Thee for that great deliverance that was wrought. We thank You for the intervention of God at that time. Lord, we praise Thee just for the land in which we live. We're saddened at this time by the apathy. We recognize, Father, that so many take the blessings that we have so much for granted. We pray that there'd be a greater interest in the Word of God, a greater desire for the things of God, a greater ear for the hearing of the gospel, that You'll rid, Father, our land of that awful famine of the hearing of the Word of God. We're just pleading, Father, now that the Spirit will descend. May we know His breath upon the service tonight. But, Lord, our land is in great need of God to come in revival. Wilt Thou not revive us again, as the cry of our hearts, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee. Lord, we present these our prayers, asking Thee to hear our cries. You have said that You're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And Lord, we ask Thee to answer mightily according to Your will. These are prayers and petitions we pray tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to read together in the Word of God. We're in the book of Jonah, the Old Testament scriptures. One of the minor prophets. The historical narrative of the story of Jonah. We're in chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Let's hear the word of the Lord. May the Lord speak tonight even through the reading of His word. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be come unto us, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea become unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. So we'll end just there. The close of the second verse of the second chapter. Knowing the Lord will add his blessing tonight to this, the public reading of his word. We want to take the opportunity to give you all a warm word of welcome along to the Lord's house, to our Sabbath evening gospel service. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your faithful attendance and support of these meetings. And our prayer is you'll know the Lord's presence and he'll bless you in your own heart and soul as you're present in the meeting tonight and as the word of God goes forth. We welcome all that are listening to the service by way of the live stream also. We're glad of your interest in these meetings and pray the word of God will be a blessing to your hearts as well. Remember, please, Tuesday night, 7:30, the outreach team going forth into the village of Rich Hill. Meeting this month out at Rich Hill, just at the Orchard Graveyard or just beside the Presbyterian Church at 7:30 Tuesday night. So we encourage as many as possible to go along and give help and give support with the distribution of the gospel literature. Wednesday night at 8:00, the midweek service, our prayer meeting, our Bible study. Over the summer months, we'll have the midweek service just a little bit shorter than usual. We'll aim to finish maybe around 9:15. We thank you for your faithfulness, those that come so regularly and faithfully to the meetings. Pray that you'll be blessed by that, your prayers will be answered. We encourage as many as possible. As we've said before, let me emphasize it again. Try to see to it that your family at least is represented. We appreciate that not every week everyone can come from the family, especially those with younger members in the family, children that need to be cared for. But endeavor, if possible, to see to it that your family is represented. The Lord will bless you in a very definite way for that. So remember, please, the midweek service. Next Lord's Day, then, the 10th of July, 11:30, the morning meeting, the gospel service at 6:30, and I'll be the speaker myself. Remember the holiday Bible club being planned for the church here a little later in the month, Tuesday the 26th to Friday the 29th of July, every evening between 6:30 and 8:00. There will be a parents' night on the Sabbath evening at the gospel service. Our brother Chris Killen from the Lisburn Church that works under the mission board will be speaking at those meetings. The details were posted on the Facebook page during the past week. We'll seek to refresh that just as the meetings get a little closer as well. Remember, there is a sheet in the porch. We encourage you to put your name on that list just to give Rhonda and Gillian an indication of who's going to be available to help with the various activities. Help is needed for all of the aspects just of the Bible Club during that week. So please give your support to those special meetings. We ask for your help as well in making them known and keep them before the Lord in the place of prayer. This night, 2 weeks, Sunday the 17th, after the evening service, there's going to be a short season of prayer for the Holiday Bible Club, and also at that meeting there'll be opportunity just to share the details on the Rota and so forth. Remember the midweek meeting. There'll be a midweek meeting this week, Wednesday, coming. There'll be none the following week, which is the 13th, because of how it falls in the holiday week. And then the following week after that, again, the 20th of July, we'll be moving the midweek service back downstairs into the church hall. Just to remind you of the offerings that have been taken recently. Wednesday night passed for the Slavic Gospel Association. So far, that has come to £907. We're appealing for funds for the Early Child Development Centre in the Poro in Kenya. £1,355 so far have come in for that appeal. That's to help them build the new facilities there. So sincere thanks to you all for your continued very liberal giving to the missionary cause. And remember, you can still give to both of those offerings. Just put it in an envelope and mark on it clearly which of the appeals or which of the offerings the gift is for. Remember, we're planning to do some outreach on the 12th of July, as the demonstration for County Armagh will be here in the city. Let our brother Billy know if you're able to help with that. We'd appeal to as many as possible just to get involved in the distribution of the tract. Remember, the Radio Star Country broadcasts 3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoons. I'm responsible for the messages. Again, this month of July, we value your prayers for the Lord's guidance for those messages. Remember also the installation of the Reverend Stephen McRae as the new minister of the Ballinahinch Church. That meeting will take place this Friday night. That's Friday the 8th of July at 8 o'clock. And just to emphasise again, the meeting is being held in the Lisburn congregation, just to have the larger building to accommodate the congregation for the installation. The moderator is expected to conduct the installation and to bring the word that night, the Reverend John Armstrong. The latest Vision magazine, maybe you forgot to take yours this morning, that's for July and August. Copies in the porch. The latest Watching and Waiting magazine as well, from the Sovereign Grace Advent Testimony. I wrote an article for that magazine this time on the question, is Russia in the prophetic scriptures? There's some other of those concordance booklets, the prophecy or concordance of prophecy booklets, priced £1.50. And do please continue just to pray for those members of our congregation that are unwell, and the senior members that we miss from our meetings that are no longer able to be out with us. And as a congregation especially, today we sympathise with Mr. Norman Kerr, our senior elder, just on the death of his sister-in-law. That's his late wife Doreen's sister, Mrs. Barbara Conn, who passed away around lunchtime yesterday. We pray that the family will know the Lord's presence and comfort just at this very sad time for them. We're going to come to another hymn, please, before we turn to the Word of God tonight. It's the hymn 418. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Think of the words as you sing them. We're thinking tonight of your spiritual direction. The hymn says, I'm pressing on the upward way. We trust that that is your experience just at this time. We'll leave out the verse 4, please. So the first three, verses 1, 2, and 3, and then the fifth verse, leaving out the fourth, and we're standing as we sing. Amen. We're turning to the book of Jonah, to the first chapter of that book. Can I mention to you, just before we come to the scriptures, if you think of the name of R.A. Torrey, Dr. R.A. Torrey, he was an associate of Mr. Moody's. He was in his own right a world-famous evangelist, traveled all around the globe in the preaching of the gospel. Mr. Douglas in the college would have told us to buy everything that we could find by R.A. Torrey. Just to emphasize that recommendation to you, his writings are all very profitable. As the Word of God says, he being dead yet speaketh. He has a book called What the Bible Teaches, and there's another very useful book called How to Work for Christ, and a number of others as well in addition. But those are two very profitable volumes. The one especially I want to emphasize is this little booklet. It's called The Vest Pocket Companion for Christian Workers. It's obvious to see why it's called The Vest Pocket Companion. You're able to slip it very easily into your breast pocket to carry it with you wherever you go, especially useful for those that are interested in personal work, those that are engaged in outreach work. What he does in the book, in every chapter, every little section, he gives you the best texts in the Word of God to use for the different cases that you're dealing with, the best texts for those who wish to know how to be saved, the best texts for those who have difficulties. And it goes through a list of quite a few difficulties, maybe down as far as 22 difficulties. People will raise those with you when you're talking to them about your soul, or as you talk to them about their soul. For example, the 18th one is it too late? Is it too late for me to be saved? So he gives the best text to use when you're speaking to someone of that nature. At the end of the book, there's some good text to use when you're dealing even with the Lord's people in pastoral work. For those Christians that are undergoing trial, those that are bereaved and so forth, and even those, a little like what we were thinking of this morning, those that are neglecting the Word of God and neglecting the place of prayer. So it's a very useful little volume. This one was published by the Sword of the Lord, John R. Rice's. That was his ministry, his publishing house in the United States of America. The reason I emphasize it especially, as we come to the subject tonight, we're going to think this evening about the backslider. So he has a section there, section 6, the best texts for backsliders. So it's especially relevant as we think of what we're going to consider from the Word of God this evening. So it's The Vest Pocket Companion for Christian Workers by Dr. R.A. Torrey, Reuben Archer Torrey. A wee word of prayer together, so seek the Lord's face. Father, we ask that you'll still our hearts. We ask, Father, that you'll be pleased to take away from our hearts and minds all those things that would distract us at a time such as this. We're praying, Father, put your hand upon the gathering. Come this evening, we ask, shut us in with thyself. We pray that your word tonight will know the blessing of God upon it. May the power of God attend to the ministry of your word in this house this evening. And we're praying, Father, speak through thy word, speak to hearts in this gospel service. Answer these, our prayers. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. Jonah chapter 1, please. Look especially at the words of verse 2. It says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee from flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And notice these words, "and went down to Joppa." And he found a ship going to Tarshish, So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them onto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I emphasize those words, went down to Joppa. The theme tonight is the path of the backslider. Can I remind you, can I highlight, when you study the scriptures, always keep in mind that a person's physical circumstances are often a picture of their spiritual condition. It's good to look out for that. It's good to see it as you study the lives, the various biographies that are recorded in the Word of God. For example, Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He came in the darkness. And the reality was that Nicodemus was spiritually himself in the dark. So his physical circumstances were a picture of his spiritual condition. The same was true of Peter, standing by the fire in Caiaphas's house. And that's a very clear indication of his spiritual condition. Physically, he was cold, but spiritually, he was cold as well. He too was a backslider at that time, following the Lord afar off. And the same is true, men and women, of Jonah. Those words in verse 3, Jonah went down. He went down to Joppa. So physically, as far as his circumstances were concerned, Jonah's on the downward path. But that was only the start. It's interesting to follow through the chapter, to follow through the story. In verse 3 as well, he went down into the ship. Didn't just go down to Joppa. He went down into the ship. Remember, a little later, he went down into the sea. And then he went down into the fish, into the fish's belly. And then the fish took him down into the very depths of the ocean. So it's very clear. There's a progression. As you read through the chapter, Jonah's going downward. He's a man that's on the downward path. And that was also true of Jonah spiritually. As a Christian, Jonah was going down. Because Jonah, men and women, was a backslider. That was his condition at this stage of his life. This is the first view that we have of Jonah in the book. And sadly, it's not a very good view, especially as far as Jonah spiritually is concerned. Remember, he was a prophet. We talk about Jonah the prophet. That's how the Bible speaks of him. The New Testament, even the Savior, referred to Jonah the prophet. And what a lesson. What a warning, men and women. You can hold office and still be a backslider. I mentioned Peter. Peter was an apostle, one of the foremost leaders of the New Testament church, and he was in a backslidden condition. So you can hold office in the church and still be a backslider. You can be a Sunday school teacher, children's worker, maybe a deacon, an elder, minister, and be cold of heart. So what a warning that is. There's a need for us to guard our hearts. There's a need for us all, men and women, to guard our walk with God, always to be on our guard with regard to our spiritual condition. Can I ask you tonight, in the light of that, what direction are you going? What direction are you heading spiritually? Are you going up? Or are you like Jonah going down? Are you ascending to the heights? Or are you descending down into the depths? Jonah was a backslider. And I want to point out to you for a few minutes some of the marks of the backslider as they're identified for us, as they're taught here in this story, in this chapter. And maybe you will be able to identify these marks of the backslider in your own life at this time. Notice, first of all, the first mark of the backslider is the idleness. If you look at verse 2, it opens with the words, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city." Now notice, verse 2 gives you the first word that God spoke to Jonah in this book. And the first word that God spoke to Jonah was, "Arise." And what that indicates is, here's a man that was sitting. Here's a man that was lying. He was enjoying his comfort. He's a man that was taking his ease. Remember that verse we were pondering this last couple of Sabbath mornings, those that are at ease in Zion. Well, here's an example of one that was at ease in Zion. He was idle. Jonah was a man that was doing nothing. God had to come and say, get up and do something in my service. You know, sometimes in the news, we hear the unemployment figures from time to time. Sometimes on a monthly basis, those figures are given out. Unemployment all across the nation. Well, think of the subject of unemployed Christians. You would think there ought not to be any. The reality is there should be no unemployment in the Church of Christ. And yet there is. There are many that are unemployed in the ranks of God's people. You say tonight, there's no work for me. Well, that's not true, my friend. In the meetings today, we have highlighted, just to give you one example, the outreach work that's being done in this city this week, the 12th period that's coming. Think a little later in the month of the children's work that's going to be engaged in again. There are many opportunities to serve the Lord and to be in the work of God. The Savior said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There's plenty of work to do, men and women. There's not a reason to be idle in the cause of Christ in the time in which we live. You think of the term armchair theologian. What is an armchair theologian? That's a person whose head is full of knowledge, and they like to talk, they like to debate about theology, but they never do anything for God. They never get up and get involved in the work of the gospel. And there are many people like that. And often what you find is an armchair theologian is a person that's quick to criticize the efforts that others are seeking to make. Mr. Moody wasn't very well educated. He had difficulty at times spelling, pronouncing words, even as he spoke. One time he was leaving the city of Philadelphia with his brother-in-law on the train. His brother-in-law was Fleming Revel, the publisher. He wanted to send a telegram to his wife, Emma, to tell her just about the next stage of their travels. And he asked his brother-in-law, how do you spell Philadelphia? He thought it began F-I-L. He was a man that had great challenges with his education. One time he was criticized by a lady after a meeting was over. She said to him, you made 11 grammatical errors in your message tonight. Well, Mr. Moody, even though he hadn't a very good education, he was very sharp. He was a man that could give a good answer very quickly. And what he said to that lady was, that's right, madam. I didn't have a very good education. But what I'm doing is this. I'm using all the education that I have on the work of God. What about you? What about you? Some of you have a far better education than Mr. Moody ever had. Are you using the gifts, the blessings that God has given you, as you should, in a service? Sometimes you can be quick to criticize others, what they're seeking to do, struggling to do for the Lord. But what are you doing? It's not a good question that Mr. Moody asked. What are you doing in the service of the Master? Some Christians, you never see them at the prayer meeting. You never see them when there's any activities, any work to be done in the cause of the gospel. Paul said to Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in thee. And yet many do. Many do neglect their gifts. Brethren and sisters, God has given you gifts and talents. He's given gifts and talents to every one of his people. And the question you need to ask yourself is, what are you doing with them? How are you using them in the service of the Master? Are you wasting the talents only on worldly and earthly things? Are you neglecting them, not using them for the Lord as he intended, as he would want? Don't be at ease in Zion. Jonah was. Don't be like him. Don't be a Christian that's idle. Get up and do something for Christ. That's what the Lord was saying to Jonah. And that's what he would say to you tonight as well. Get up and do something for the furtherance of the gospel before your life is over, before the opportunity is taken from you. So the first mark of a backslider we learn here is idleness. The second one I'll mention is prayerlessness. You think of what is not recorded in these opening verses of chapter 1. In fact, think of what is not recorded in the whole of chapter 1, in all that Jonah did, in every decision that he took. And the answer is, men and women, there's no reference to prayer. Jonah didn't pray. He wasn't a praying man at this stage in his life. If you notice how the chapter 2 opens, that's the reason why we read down into chapter 2 tonight. It says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. That's very significant, the word then. It was then and only then. It was when he was in the belly of the fish that Jonah cried unto the Lord. So the whole of chapter 1 passes without a single prayer being offered, without a single prayer being recorded. He never bowed the knee to pray for help. He never bowed the knee to ask the Lord to give him clear direction in his life at that particular time. So here, men and women, is a mark of a backslider, one that is prayerless, one that has ceased to pray. Martin Lloyd-Jones said on one occasion, there's nothing that tells the truth about a Christian like our prayer life. And there's nothing that tells the truth about this man, about Jonah's life. Nothing that tells the truth about him like his prayer life, or the want or the lack of a prayer life. How true that is, men and women. Your prayer life tells where you really are with God. So just take a moment to consider that. As you think of Jonah, we're looking into the Word of God. The challenge, these things, Paul said, are written for our learning. Ask yourself, what is your prayer life like? What sort of prayer life do you have? You know the story well. When Mr. Paisley was in the Crumlin Road prison, and the other brethren came in, Pastor Willie Mullen in particular, to pray with him and Mr. Wiley, Mr. Foster. Mr. Paisley kneeled down. They had a time of prayer. The warder had to be present. The story was often told with great humor that Mr. Paisley was bigger on his knees than the warder was on his feet. I know there's a picture there. There's a challenge. Some men are giants on their knees. What stories you read of men like John Hyde or Praying Hyde of India? You think of the story of George Mueller of Bristol. Think of Martin Luther. The story of Martin Luther records, especially when he was very busy, so much to do, so many demands upon him, he would rise early and spend at least 3 hours in prayer every morning. Some men, and women too, are giants on their knees before God. Set your life beside them. How does your life compare? How does it match up, brethren and sisters? Are you prayerless? Do you pray as you ought? Dare I ask the question? Did you pray today on God's holy day? The day of all days that should be set aside for the things of God, and all the activities you engaged in on the Sabbath day, did you take time to pray? Take time to talk to your Lord? Do you ever come to the prayer meeting? Do you ever come to the midweek service to lift up the needs of your family, to lift up the spiritual condition of your loved ones before the Lord at the throne of grace? Prayerless, the mark of a backslider. Remember, I mentioned that verse a little earlier. Solomon speaks of those that are backslidden in heart. The outward appearance looks as if everything's fine. Everything's going on as usual as it should. But what of the condition of the heart? Backslider in heart. The other one that we'll mention is rebelliousness. We thought of idleness, prayerlessness, rebelliousness. Look there at verse 1 of the chapter. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying. If you read that opening statement in the book, you're left in no doubt that God spoke. God spoke to this man. Wasn't the king, wasn't the Jewish elders. It was Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God of Israel, that was speaking to his prophet. And the Lord said to Jonah, go to Nineveh, that great city. He was left in no doubt of the will of God. But what did Jonah do? Well, Jonah headed for Tarshish. He headed in the opposite direction completely. There's a lot of debate among the scholars, the commentators, as to where Tarshish actually was. In all probability, it was on the other side of the Mediterranean, in the region of the nation of Spain. But Jonah rebelled. He disobeyed. And how sad that was, men and women. Can I ask tonight, what about you? Has God spoken to you about something? Has God revealed his will? Has God told you what he wants you to do? Maybe he wants you to be a Sunday school teacher. He wants you to be involved in youth work, wants you to be a children's worker. Maybe God has called you to be a missionary, like Jonah, but you haven't gone. You haven't obeyed. If so, my friend, then you're just like this man, Jonah, at this time. You're disobedient. You're being rebellious to the revealed will of God. The Savior said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Why do you say you're a Christian? Why do you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, but you disobey his voice? You don't carry out the commands that he gives to your heart. You think of a child when you're speaking to it and puts its fingers in its ears, because the child doesn't want to hear what you're saying to it, doesn't want to listen to what mommy or daddy has to say. Well, you know, sometimes we can be like that as God's children. We don't want to hear. We don't like the message. We don't like what God is saying to us. We don't like his will, or what he's saying to us is his will for our lives. How sad. You know, doctors would tell you that there's many incurable illnesses. Do you know the reason why many illnesses are incurable? It's not because they can't be treated or they don't have the medication. It's because people that come to see the doctor won't do what they're asked. They won't do what they're told. In fact, the doctors would tell you the reports that have been made on that subject would say as many as 90% of the people that come to see the doctor on occasions don't do what they're told. So for doctors, disobedience of patients is a very big problem. And it's just the same men and women in the church, people with spiritual conditions. Many Christians, like Jonah, disobedience is a big problem. And maybe you're like that. Can I point out to you, men and women, how serious disobedience really is? We have a tendency as Christians to play down things. We have a tendency to try to gloss them over, to portray them as not really being that important or that serious. Well, let me just stress to you how serious disobedience is. A few Sabbath mornings ago, in the biographies that we considered, we looked at Saul, the first king of Israel. Samuel said to Saul, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now think of that word rebellion. It's not a clear word, a clear statement. It's a very strong description of what a person is doing. And think of how serious it is set forth there, because it says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Witchcraft is heinous. It's abominable in God's sight. Well, God sets the two on the same plane, the same power. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. God says that rebellion or disobedience to his will is just as serious, just as sinful. So don't be rebellious, brethren and sisters, men and women. Don't be disobedient. I exhort you tonight, whatever he says unto you. Remember Mary's words to the servants at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. It's not whatever I like of what he says unto me, or whatever I incline to. It's not the easy bits. It's not some of the things. It's whatever. That's how broad it is. Whatever he says unto you, do it. Jonah, the backslider, he was a man that was idle. He was a man that was prayerless. He was a man that was rebellious. And you know, it's easy to point the finger. Easy for us all to do that. But you know, sometimes we could be more like Jonah than maybe we care to realize, care to acknowledge. Maybe there's somebody in the meeting, somebody listening to the service tonight, and these marks are found in your life. If that's the case, then you have to face up to the fact you're a backslider too. You're in the same spiritual condition, the same downward path that Jonah was on at that time. And what God would say to you tonight is, stop running and start returning. Running away from God. Running away from his command, his plan, his path for your life. Stop running. Remember, Jonah ran away. So stop running and start returning. I'll close with this. I mentioned Mr. Torrey's little vest pocket companion. You turn to that section on the backslider. He'll give you some very helpful instructions, some very helpful verses. The prophet Jeremiah has much to say about backsliding, much to say to the backslider, especially Jeremiah chapter 2 and chapter 3, those early chapters in the book, the prophecy of Jeremiah. Listen just to these words, to these exhortations, to these promises. The Lord says, Jeremiah 3, verse 12, return, thou backsliding Israel. So that's what the Lord would say. Remember, a moment ago, I summed it up, stop running, start returning. The Lord says, return, thou backsliding Israel. He says, turn, no backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. Isn't there encouragement there, men and women? He's married to the backslider. You're still united. You haven't lost your salvation. He's pleading with you to return, to be restored, to fellowship with him. The 22nd verse of the chapter says, return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Isn't that a tremendous promise, tremendous encouragement? Your backsliding can be healed. It can be dealt with. It can be cured. So I want to plead with you to return to the Lord today, brethren and sisters. Jonah went down. He's on the downward path. That was the path of the backslider. Wasn't going up spiritually. His physical circumstances where he was going down, and he was going down spiritually as well. And if that's the direction you're going in, we plead with you tonight to repent. Repent and do the first works. Remember, that's the command to God's people today. You need to turn around, and we want to urge you to do that in this gospel service tonight. A couple of verses of 412 as we finish. Think of the words of the chorus especially. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice as it told thy love to me, but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious wounded sight. Just the first two verses of hymn 412, and we'll stand to sing, please. Thank you that there's forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. We want to pray that there'll be some in our service tonight that will know and experience the joy of sins forgiven. We want to pray you'll save the lost. We pray, Father, that you'll bring the backslider back again to thyself. May there be restoration of fellowship take place in this meeting. As a result of your word going forth, remember that David cried out in that 51st Psalm, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Thank you that you are married to the backslider. We rejoice, Father, that we can never be lost, but that fellowship that has been lost, we pray, Father, in the joy that has been lost, that you'll be pleased to restore it to some in this meeting and some that have heard this service and this message this evening. Lord, we ask thee to keep us near the cross. Thank you for the words we've sung together. Write them on our hearts tonight. And Lord, we cry out just before we leave your house this Sabbath evening, draw us nearer to thy precious wounded side. And now we ask that you'll spread your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease and until at our Father's loved abode, our souls arrive in peace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.